Koinonia, a place of encounters with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Father, we give you thanks. Marvelous God, we thank you for your wonder-working power across the nations of the earth, from continent to continent. You have proven again that you are God. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. That's our testimony. Nobody great, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Hallelujah. While I just came in and I sat down there, I just saw a vision, and in this vision I saw a family weeping. I don't know what for. I don't know what warranted the tears. And I saw this in my vision, and I just thought that when I come up I would just speak a word of encouragement. I don't know what family may be here, maybe a global family. But God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for you. He will be your God. Holds you closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make. Let's sing it one more time with faith in our hearts. God will make a way. Yes, he will. Where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God, holds me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. Let me speak to that family. There are times when you may not see the wind. There are times when you may not see the rain, yet, by an act that only God can define and describe, the valley shall still be filled with water. Listen, we are people who understand the principles of the kingdom, and I'm committed to teaching us the principles of the kingdom, but the presence of God can never be exalted above principles. Because there are times you will do everything right and it just will not work. At that point, you do not need formulas. You need Jesus. It takes the know-how to be able to go and fish. It takes having a good net to catch fish. It takes a functional boat to catch fish. But there are times that you can have the knowledge. There are times you can have a good boat. There are times your net can be good. There are times you can even be at sea and you will still not catch fish. At that point, you need to leave the idea of being a fisherman You don't need fishing at that point. You need Jesus. He's the only one who can make a sea that has no fish at the instance of his word. We must never exalt principles above and beyond his presence. He is still the monarch of the universe. And I've told you, in God's economy, 1 + 1 should be 2. But there are times where 1 + 1 + God equals whatever answer he puts there. Whereas ordinarily 1 + 1 should be 2. When God wants to change the equation, he adds himself. 1 + 1 + God. 3 men in the fire + 1. Looking like the Son of Man, the Son of God. And these were men that the fire had no power over. Hallelujah. So there is no reason to come to church and feel downcast and feel discouraged. Now, it may not be for everybody, but just allow me a minute or two to just bring that word. If God showed me that vision, it means that there might be someone who came to church. It might even be a family. And you have just come and you're saying, Lord, I love you and I will not stop loving you. But can you at least show me a token of your mercy? Let me know that this thing works. The Bible calls him our ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. Find strength.
Say to those that are fearful hearted, do not be afraid. The Lord your God is strong, and in his mighty hands, when you call on his name, he will come and save you.
That's a prophetic word.
That he will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. My God will come and save you. He will come and save
you. Here's the point.
Lift up your eyes to him. You will arise again. He will come and save.
Find strength in the name of Jesus. The God of heaven is still alive.
Savior, he can move a mountain. Your God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, the author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus, sing Savior, Savior. He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave.
One more time.
Sing Savior, Savior. He can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. He rose and conquered my pain. He conquered my pain. He rose and conquered my shame. He rose and conquered my pain. Savior, He can move a mountain. My God is
my new
bed. He is my new bed. Forever, author of salvation.
Let it be so for you in the name of Jesus. God bless you again. It's good to see everyone. Please be seated. Always a delight to be in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. In His presence, the Bible declares, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Just two or three functions very quickly, and then we'll get to the ministry of the word. I welcome everyone very specially in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God. Thank you so much for coming. The Lord honor you. And we have a very wonderful woman of God in our midst. Amazing to see her. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Chioma Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessings to you. We love you. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. An amazing, amazing woman of God who has been a blessing to everyone. Please be seated. Let me start tonight by appreciating our medical team. Let's give them a big, big God bless you. Is this the best you can do? Hallelujah. As you know, yesterday they had some time visiting the IDP camp at Apo with quite a lot of people, and I was very humbled and touched when I saw the photos. And it's a test run to our the humanitarian services that we'll be doing. Remember that we are light, the Bible says, and we are salt. And it was a very humbling experience. We had the privilege to dig and to build a very quality borehole for them, serve them medical attention and food, and just share the love of Jesus with them. And I think that for me, I was very, very encouraged. So medical people, thank you so much. And all of you who, all the medical people, paramedics who were part of the volunteers, may the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The Lord will grant us grace to do more for His kingdom in Jesus' name. Second is a very important meeting. Please let me reiterate it here, that on Tuesday by 6 on the dot, we're having our workers meeting. Please, all workers, this is compulsory. Every worker should plan and make the sacrifice to be there. 6 is when we're starting, so please do well to be sure that you are there. The venue is DOA, our other auditorium, opposite Setraco. Praise the name of the Lord. Heads of department, please take note to emphasize this announcement. Tuesday by 6 p.m. The third announcement is our workers' appreciation dinner. Now, we have a culture as a ministry that at the end of every year, we create a platform where we truly appreciate our esteemed workforce. I believe that when people invest their lives, their time, their resources, their loyalty to stand by you and stand with you as far as serving the purposes of the kingdom is concerned, there should be an avenue where you get to express gratitude. And so this, for us as a ministry, is our platform. It's an annual event. It's part of our activities. And Zaria had theirs over the weekend. It was a beautiful time. And for us in Abuja here, it's going to be Friday. Friday, it starts by 5 p.m. Red carpet starts by 5 p.m. The venue is right here. So please do well to know. You can get more information from your heads of department. Please, it is strictly for workers. It is not a koinonia service. It's a workers appreciation dinner. I'm saying this so that we avoid any kind of embarrassment. We love you, but we intend to be very strict on this. Praise the name of the Lord. If we're in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then let me again appreciate all who have come. I know that we do this once in a while, but I just felt stirred in my heart again to do this. All of our guests and family who have come from diaspora, you have come from outside of Nigeria. If you're here on ground, please do well to stand. We want to just accord you some honor. Please stand. Please stand. Koinonia, can you give them a big God bless you? Please stand. Please stand. Thank you. Please stand. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as we are a house of honor and we're people of honor, and week in, week out, we have people who come in from across the globe, literally, and I'm sure that there are many more scattered across the overflows, and then thousands more following online. We, on behalf of Jesus himself, who is the apostle of the church, we welcome you. This is Koinonia, and we know and believe that your lives will never be the same. In the name of Jesus, thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for the time out. Your time will be well invested tonight in Jesus' name. Please be seated. What you are about to hear tonight is one of those mysteries that will change and build your life. I remain committed to seeing that we are grounded with the truths that equip us, number one, to know and love the Lord passionately. I'm sent to the body of Christ, and primarily my assignment to the body of Christ, first and foremost, is to call us into deeper levels of love and passion and intimacy with God, to help culture our passions to be directed towards the Lord Jesus Christ and even the ministry of the Holy Spirit. My assignment also is to help believers to be able to excel as far as their serving the purposes of God is concerned. And to do that, we are mandated to equip believers with the requisite level of spiritual understanding that needs to be in place to guarantee our excelling. Because in this kingdom, we rise, we reign, and we excel on the strength of the level and the dimension of spiritual illumination that we have. Hallelujah. If we are bankrupt of light, there is only so much we are able to do. The Bible says, having their understanding darkened, Ephesians 4:18, it says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so we intend to be a people of knowledge, a people of light, a people who are sound in doctrine. Hallelujah. I'm very passionate about the methodical mentorship, methodical building of believers. I maintain the opinion that believers are not just built because truths are communicated, that these truths have to be line upon line, precepts upon precepts, here a little, there a little. And I'm also committed to presenting to the body of Christ, within the boundary of the grace and the call that has been given to me, the whole and complete counsel of God. Hallelujah. It is dangerous to have believers who are lopsided as far as the communication of truth and doctrine is concerned. And so, we will stress what needs to be stressed. We will emphasize what needs to be emphasized. And as much as possible, we will capture every dimension that makes for your revealing Jesus and your excelling in life. Hallelujah. It will not tire me to reiterate the scripture, Jeremiah 3:15, that I will give you pastors or shepherds that are according to my heart, the Bible says, and that they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So primarily, the assignment of every man and woman of God as far as building the believers is concerned, is to feed them with knowledge and understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. And God has helped us week in, week out. We have considered a number of areas, touching across several areas of the kingdom life, to the end that we be grounded in the knowledge of God and then be established in truth. Let me encourage us before we deal with tonight's topic. You must be very intentional about ensuring that the truths that are communicated do not just fall on deaf ears. The Bible says, now that ye know these things, it says, happy are you if you do them. Hallelujah. For a long time, we've had people in the body of Christ who are not ignorant, but they still lack results because the discipline to take that which they have learned under God and to engage it appropriately to produce results for them, most people don't have that staying power. So you must be very committed to your growth. You have a responsibility under God to see to it that as the word of God comes, your heart becomes like the good soil that is able to produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. The Bible says the good soil represents those who heard the word and understood it. And they walked in keeping with that truth and those principles. And inevitably they had results. So it is dangerous to continue listening to truth after truth, reciting them, supposedly being aware of them, and then your life does not capture the results. Eventually your Christian experience will be full of frustration. You will get to a point where you will be angry at God, you will be angry at men, you will be angry at preachers, because almost everything that will be taught, you will know it as far as awareness is concerned, and yet your life would not be able to capture the kind of experience that a person that knowledgeable should have. So make up your mind that every time you approach God to learn, you are learning so that you will have understanding and then you obtain grace from God. That is why at the end of every discussion, every communication of truth, the Lord grants us grace to be able to pray. That prayer is obtaining grace from the Lord so that we now walk in keeping with the principles that guarantee the manifestation of the results. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight, I'm teaching on a topic called Blessed by Association. Please lend me your attention. Remember that for every one of us who is listening to this, there are multiple destinies that are connected to us. I want to show you by the word of God tonight the power and the price and the necessity of having strategic relationships and associations. Hallelujah. Blessed by association. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. The Bible says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. That means when he began his journey, he was not yet wise, but he made up his mind that he will walk with the wise. He that walks with the wise, the Bible says he shall be wise. It says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Very instructive statement. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, the Bible says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We're discussing relationships as one of the mysteries that make for the rising and the excelling of believers in this kingdom. As you know, we rise in this kingdom on the strength of the mysteries, the truths that we have found and know. When we apply these truths, they are called the mysteries of the kingdom. They sustain the ability to lift us beyond our current level and bring us to a point where our lives can become true reflections of the glory and the grace of God. Are we together? Please write this down. Relationships are advantageous connections. We'll just put this as an introduction. Then we'll look at a few scriptures and I'll begin to build from there. Relationships are advantageous connections. I'm defining for you relationships now. Relationships are advantageous connections, comma, that are mutually beneficial to all the parties involved. Relationships are advantageous connections that are mutually beneficial to all the parties involved. That means when you say that you are in a relationship of any sort, it means that there is a connection between you and those persons that is advantageous, and that it must or should be mutually beneficial to all the parties involved. Are we together? The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. How true this is. That the easiest way a man or a woman, whether in ministry, whether in business, whether in career, whether in family life, the easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. When the Lord brought us to this city, I saw this in the most explicit and most fruitful way that can ever be seen. That the easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships. Are you still writing? Number three, everything in life multiplies on the basis of relationships. That means multiplication only happens. Multiplication is only a possibility because of relationships. Everything in life multiplies on the basis of relationships. Biologically, it takes a husband and his wife to have children, even for plants, even for animals. Multiplication demands and requires relationships. Are we together? It is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the experience of new birth that has made you today a recipient of eternal life. It is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with the Holy Spirit today, that guarantees that you are His own. Relationships are powerful. Everything in life multiplies on the basis of relationships. The last point, and then we'll look at a few scriptures. Relationships are currencies. Write it down, please. Relationships are currencies. That means they can purchase things, they can purchase people, and they can purchase conditions into our lives. Relationships are currencies. Like you have Naira, you have the dollar, you have the pound. Relationships are currencies. They can purchase things, they can purchase people, and they can purchase conditions into our lives. What a powerful currency that can purchase things, can purchase men, and can purchase conditions, states of living, conditions into our lives. Hallelujah. For reference, let's look at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be contrasting scripture after scripture. Genesis chapter 12, we'll read the first 5 verses. Please pay attention. This was the Lord giving Abraham now, before he was changed to Abraham, an instruction. Follow carefully. Now the Lord said unto Abraham now, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, follow carefully, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Who did the Lord speak to? Abraham. Okay, verse 2. The Bible says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. The Bible says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Pay attention to 4 and 5. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to who? Him. God spoke to Abraham alone. But the Bible makes a very instructive statement. It says, and Lot went with him. God did not call Lot. The mandate that was given had nothing to do with Lot. But Lot heard that God was speaking to Abraham and that there was prophecy upon his life. And the Bible records that Lot went with him. Are you ready now? It says, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Last verse. The Bible says, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So, we see God speaking to Abraham. The Bible never records that God said, make sure you don't go alone. He spoke to Abraham, and the Bible says, and Lot went with him. Genesis 13, from verse 1. 13 and verse 1. Let's see what happened when Lot followed him. Genesis 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. You see now, the Bible keeps emphasizing that this Lot man refused to leave him. And Lot with him into the south. Verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, because obedience always leads to the manifestation of the blessings of the Lord. He was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Verse 3. The Bible says, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Okay, go ahead. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 5. Everyone, please read verse 5. Ready? One, two, read. And Lot also, which went with Abraham. Stop. Stop. Why is the Bible giving us this information? Just tell us Lot had flocks. Lot had herds. And he had tents. But the Bible is very meticulous to describe the basis for this man's blessing. He says, and Lot also, among the many that went with Abraham, there is this man who is worth studying, a case study indeed. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Say, blessed by association. Verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them again, that they might dwell together. How can God call one man and then another man says, I will follow? And now they get to a point where you do not even know who God called again, because of the abundance of what they had. The Bible says the land was not able to bear them, not him, them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Stop there. God calls Abraham in chapter 12. Lot went with him. The result, everything God did to Abraham, he also did to Lot, to a point that Lot increased. If you saw two of them and you said, who did God really call? You would not even know the difference. Because one person decided that he would be blessed, if not by divine ordination, then he would be blessed by association. Our next scripture. Are you ready for this? Jonah chapter 1. Don't laugh, be serious. This is the house of God. Jonah chapter 1. Let's start from verse 1. Are you ready? Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, it's a long reading, let's be patient. Arise, go to Nineveh. Remember, God called Jonah to alone. Did he call him with any other person? That great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come before me.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. Listen carefully now. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now the guys in the ship had no idea what was happening. Everybody just paid their transport fare and they began their journey. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. Now they are losing. All the things that they brought, everyone is losing, because they do not understand what is responsible for this kind of trouble. That they cast away their wares to lighten the ship. The Bible says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there. And what was he doing? So Jonah was not looking for trouble. Jonah didn't want trouble. He only entered and joined himself with a certain people and was sleeping. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Right? So let's see what is happening next. Verse 8. And then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil come upon us? What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people are thou? Verse 9. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Jonah is speaking now. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. You would think that because he told them the truth, God would isolate him and deal with him alone for his personal disobedience. Isn't it amazing that it looked like the people were even suffering more than him who disobeyed? Is that true? We don't read any record of him throwing anything. We even read of him sleeping. At least he was rested. And these guys, there was all kinds of turbulence. The things that they had bought, their businesses were failing, they were losing. Not because they lost the know-how, but they just hosted one man in that boat. Are we together? For sake of time, when you read on, you would hear that they now ask him and say, what do we do? We want peace. And Jonah said, let me tell you the honest truth. As painful as this is, for as long as I am in this boat with you, this yoke will not lift. Jonah is telling them. He's saying the secret is that you have to separate me from yourselves. Take me out of that boat. And the people said, no. We can't throw you. We can't do this kind of evil. Let's still try and do our best. And they kept on in futility. You read down to verse 15. And you see that they did their best and it did not work. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Read the remaining part. And the sea ceased from her raging. If you can be blessed by association, then it also means you can be cursed by association. Are we blessed now? Remember, we are contrasting scriptures. Mark chapter 4, please give us verse 37. So here we see Jonah in a boat, and on account of his disobedience, people are about to lose their lives, except that they threw him out into the sea. The Bible now says, when you read from verse 37, for sake of time, that Jesus proposed to his disciples that they would go to the other side. And then the Bible says, as they sojourned, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Does this remind you of any story? The same experience of Jonah, isn't it? So that it was now full. Next verse, we are reading to 41. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Jonah was asleep. Jesus was asleep. And they came and they woke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, what is the advantage of having you in this boat? The Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. For Jonah, he had to go out. Are we together? His presence was responsible for the tragedy. For Jesus, his presence was responsible for the peace. He said to the wind and the sea, peace, be still. In the two stories, we find out that eventually there was calm. But for one person, his absence was the reason why peace returned. And in this case, it was the presence of Jesus that guaranteed their redemption. Say after me, blessed by association. The last scriptures will contrast and then I'll begin my teaching. I hope you are following. Matthew chapter 4. Let's start our reading from verse 18. Matthew chapter 4. Let's start our reading from verse 18. This is Jesus now. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. Follow me and I will make you. This is Jesus now, giving them a proposal. Follow me, leave what you are doing, and follow me. And he leaves them with an assurance that in following me, there is an implication to following me. I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. The Bible says, and straightway, they straightway left their nets and followed him. Go with me, please, to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 from verse 10. What was the implication of following Jesus? Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Peter is speaking now. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This was the healing of the man at Gate Beautiful. Next verse. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the Bible says, when they saw the boldness, please go back to, go to 13 now. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That means when they saw the boldness of Peter and his brother, perhaps they had come to buy fish from them at one point or the other. And now they are looking at the same people with such boldness, declaring the basis for that man's healing. The Bible says they couldn't remember that these people had any education as we know, and we have known you people to be ignorant. But then they remembered that this was the implication of their association with Jesus. Jesus told ignorant men, follow me and I will make you. By the time we get to the book of Acts, this man had been so made that everybody around them could testify that we once knew you, but this version of you, we don't know from whence it has come. blessed by association. Now, you have to understand that associations and relationships matter as far as our growth and our excelling in life is concerned. Many believers, I'm not sure that most believers understand the extent to which associations and relationships count as far as determining the kind and the quality of destiny that you can be able to walk in. Most people have been very careless about associations, about relationships, and sadly to their peril and to their detriment. I hope that by this teaching, God will wake us up again to see that among the factors that need to be in place in my life and your life for us to truly be able to rise to our full prophetic potential in Christ is the ability to understand the implication of associations and relationships. Please write this down. Understanding the biblical principles of relationships is the key to being truly blessed by association. I'll take it again. Understanding the biblical principles of relationships, understanding the biblical principles of relationships is the key to being truly blessed by association. That means if you desire to be blessed by association, then you have to submit yourself to understand the biblical keys that make for sustainable relationships. Let's look at two scriptures very quickly. Number one, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Two people, two families, two companies, two believers, can two walk together except they be agreed? Scripture number 2, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18:24. Here's what the Bible says. A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That means friendship and relationships, according to this scripture, is a harvest. That if you do not sow that seed of friendliness, you cannot have that harvest. Are we together now? Yes. Many people desire to have profitable associations, profitable relationships that make for their excelling, that make for their advancement. But I think largely believers have not been taught the kingdom principles that make for relationships. I have watched with shock and even wonder at many people who are well-meaning and love the Lord with all their hearts. I have seen people stunted at certain levels and would not make any noticeable progress. Not because they are evil at heart, not because they do not know God or they do not love God, but simply because they have not learned the excellency and the value of relationships. And Lot went with him. There are business people today who have no business being wealthy and blessed, except that they were wise and foolish enough to follow people who were wise, and by their followership they entered a heaven whose impact for them will be transgenerational. There are many people whose lives were correct until they met certain people. Are we together? Certain families were going correct until they met certain people. Certain believers whose lives were in perfect order until they came into certain associations, they came into certain relationships that now began to pour into them pungent ideologies. And there are many people whose lives were going haywire except that they met a person, a people who now brought their lives to order. Relationships matter. Your eternal destiny now has been decided or will be decided tonight purely based on relationship. That because of how powerful relationships are, a man can literally spend the remaining part of his life in hell or in heaven simply because of relationships. Are we together? Relationships are very powerful. I've had the honor and the privilege by reason of the work God has committed to my hands to talk with very, very successful people. Extremely successful people. And I am amazed. Every time I talk with them, a major part of their discussions is centered around relationships, more than ideas. In my presence, you would see them interrupt our conversation, making all kinds of calls and laughing, and sometimes in the middle of something serious, and they take their discussions very, very, very serious. And now I'm wondering, if these people place that much value on relationships, could there be something that we do not know? Because there are many believers, the only relationship you have is God. That is wonderful as far as your spiritual growth is concerned. But you are learning here now that when it has to do with living in the cosmos, you are going to suffer as if it's not God that you gave your life to. And that's why God is teaching us these things to help us. Listen very carefully. There are many people today who are in positions where, based on the opportunities that God brought to their lives, they should never be in that state. Financially, spiritually, in influence, and so on and so forth. Many of us have loved ones around us, and we have people around who continue to live mediocre, defeated lives. In the presence of many people who can provide leverage for them, they have not been taught the excellency of relationships. Woe betides a man who is left alone to sort your destiny out without anyone to come and assist you. There are many people today, if they do not pay the school fees of their children by themselves, there is nobody to help them. If they do not take the journey by themselves, there is nobody to help them. If they do not serve God by themselves, there is nobody to help them. If they do not pray by themselves, there is nobody to help them. Relationships are powerful. My life today, by the privilege of God's grace, is a product of relationships. I have learned the power and the value and the excellency of relationships. For many of you, this is the answer to your prayer. You have depended on your skill, your degree, your whatever it is, and negated men, and just believe that all I have is God and all I have is my wisdom. I will find my way through life. Except that you find out that you get to a point where you are pegged at a level and you may never be able to make constructive progress. Can I tell you, I know people who may never really have anything to present, except that the one thing they have is that they have mastered relationships. Please, you may want to write this down. Relationship can be a stream of income. You literally can live off relationships. Like someone would tell you, I am in real estate. Someone would tell you, I work with maybe the presidency. You can tell them, I earn my living maintaining relationships. Is there any man in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Have you read that scripture before? And the Bible says they brought a man called Ziba, and Ziba had about 15 children. Yet the king did not talk about his children. He sent him to Lodebar and he said, go and fetch this crippled man called Mephibosheth. And he said, as for you, from today, because of your association with this man, you will spend the rest of your days eating with me on this table. And thou, Ziba, you and your children will keep farming for this crippled man. Relationships are powerful. There are people today who have earned a lifetime income simply because of those connected to them. Did you know that if by tomorrow morning, let me just play with your mind a little. If by tomorrow morning you suddenly appeared a millionaire verified, people will never say, what did you do? They will say, where did you go to? This one is not what you did now. This one is you must have met someone. There are results that are not about what you did. It was about someone that you must have met. When Solomon had that encounter with God in the night. He woke up by the very next day, and there was such display of profound wisdom. His fame went about as proof that he was no longer alone. Listen to me. If you pay attention to what I teach you, I tell you this in the name of Jesus, you will never remain small. If you understand the excellency of this mystery in the kingdom of relationships. Because many of us have not been taught. Respectfully speaking, there are some of us who come from privileged families. And we believe that on the strength of the fact that we come from privileged families that have maybe financial resources, at the moment, we feel that we do not need relationships. And so you come to church and they say, turn to your neighbor, say hallelujah, or say God bless you, you know, and all of that. And people just turn and no. You are not my class, you are not my this. And to their shock, years later, you find out that the person you turn your face against, you turn your face against 10 years of your progress. Are we together? But there are principles that we must know and engage. If relationships are this powerful, and if they hold the key to our rising and our excelling, I think I said, was it a week or two ago, that when the Lord moved me to this city, I was surprised to see the model of growth and even excellence in this city. That when you find individuals grow and excel, it is without exaggeration 70% relationships more than even competence. There are people today whose value has been received across this city, not necessarily because it is an expression of their competence, but someone who had influence loved them and decided to hold their hands, and that opened a world of wonder to them. May that happen for you in the name of Jesus. You've heard me say that in this kingdom, who hates you does not matter, but who likes you matters. Are we together? Now, can I tell you this? Unbelievers across the globe understand this. They know the power of relationships. You see them invest in relationships with the determination of one who you can almost call a fool. And sometimes you are tempted to say, what is this level of investment and sacrifice? Except that when you begin to see the value that comes from that sacrifice, it is believers and church people that are largely careless over relationships. Just because we have God, because we have the Holy Spirit, because we have the Word of God, we have consistently displayed nonchalance, especially towards profitable relationships. I pray that tonight it will change. In the name of Jesus Christ. There are great preachers today who, based on the investment of the Spirit upon their lives, they should not be at the level that they are ministerially, sincerely speaking. There are worshippers today, music ministers, worshippers. There are people who serve in the body of Christ today. I've had the honor and privilege of meeting a few people, and I am amazed at how gifted these people are across boards. Whether it is in fashion, whether it is in politics, some of them are Christian comedians, some of them are, you know, just gifted people. And you are wondering, how could someone be this gifted and remain at this level? I tell you, they have not found the power and the excellency of being connected and being blessed by association. I have seen people who have spent time with God in prayer and fasting to access certain levels of graces. And then others who came by sincere followership entered into that dimension of grace cheaply. An example, Elisha. Elisha was never supposed to be a prophet. There was no prophecy about him being a prophet. Elisha was a farmer, probably trying to take care of his family. But he made up his mind that I may not know my way around my life and destiny, but this one thing I will do. I have found a man who seems to know what he's doing, and I will follow foolishly. The sons of the prophet were just there receiving lectures and arguing who would be the next prophet. And this one followed sincerely. They would even, you know, just tout him and speak to him and say, do you know that God is going to take your master today? And he said, I know, but don't distract me. And when they went beyond the Jordan, Elijah looks at him and says, I'm about to go. You may not see me again, but ask very quickly. He said, for a double portion. And he said, you have asked a difficult thing, but if you can still maintain your focus to see me, even as I go. Relationships. I cannot begin to tell you testimonies after testimonies of seasons that opened in my life, spiritually and otherwise, all because of relationships. Very profitable relationships. Are you learning now? Generally speaking, there are three kinds of relationships. Please write it down before we now discuss a few principles. There are three kinds of relationships and associations. Number one, there are general relationships. General associations. Every day you meet with people. Every day you get to the bus station, you get to the office, you get to the bank, you get to a restaurant, you interact with people in the marketplace. And the Bible demands that you honor all men. There are general relationships. You can go and meet someone for the first time in the market, and within the 5 minutes you have to spend with the person, you will gist and talk and laugh as though you were born from the same place. And afterwards you say bye, never to see the person again. General relationships. Number two, there are seasonal relationships. That means these are relationships that are so ordained for seasons. And the key to maximizing these relationships is to position yourself through discernment to know what you need to receive within the time allotted. Are we together now? For instance, there are some of us that God, on account of his desire to lift you, he will carry you and keep you in the house of an uncle, keep you in the house of an auntie, put you under the care of someone to train you. You will not be there forever, but that relationship was for a season, because in his mind he saw that that is the only atmosphere where you will learn character and discipline and diligence. You can spend your 6 years there complaining and saying my uncle is a wicked man, rather than discerning that time is ticking. I should learn quickly what I need to learn. The man you call a wicked man has never begged for bread. The man you call a wicked man is still with his wife. The man you call a wicked man prays in the morning and prays in the night. These are the things you should be learning. God took you from wherever. Oh Moses, he kept you in Pharaoh's house to learn something that you would need later on. Seasonal relationships. Many of you have aborted seasons of greatness in your life because you did not discern relationships that came in certain seasons, politically, ministerially, and so on and so forth. Rather than discerning to say, why did God bring this person? This person. Some of you, God gave you jobs not because of the salaries. There was something and someone you needed to meet there, that after, and you had a 3 year time span to learn it. You spent 2 years complaining, and right now you have about 3 months left. You need grace to catch up quickly. Hear me. There are certain people God took to serve NYSC in regions they did not want. He kept them there to connect them to certain people so they could learn certain things. Every time you are a believer and you are in an uncomfortable environment, know that God allowed you there to see something. If you can look past the pain, and yes, I know that the woman did not treat you well when you are under her care. Take your eyes away from her character flaws and learn something about motherhood. Because the man you are about to marry, oh Esther, you are marrying Ahasuerus. You have to be trained so God can take you and keep you in an uncomfortable environment. But rather than learning, you are there complaining and say, she bought clothes for the children and did not buy clothes for me. It's a stretching to build you. Listen carefully. Many of us have had to recycle seasons in our lives because we could not discern seasons. There is no great man I know who will be honest with you about the story of their life, and you cannot capture in that story times when they were kept in seemingly uncomfortable positions. The man who would later be the Matthias Stephen, did you know he started working in the welfare department? Imagine how much of an insult that would be to him. This guy was bubbling with anointing, wanting to be a man of God, and they say, oh yeah, serve the rice, serve this. Some of you, God will bring you to ministry, and while you are eyeing the pulpit, God will take you straight to the security department and keep you there. And yet, in your dreams, you are an apostle. It is a training. Don't think God will bring you to the pulpit to come and serve. No. So we have general relationships. Please pay attention. We're getting deeper. We have seasonal relationships. And let me tell you something with seasonal relationships. Seasonal relationships are largely the kinds of relationships that God uses to prepare us for destiny. Some of you can have a 2-week course with certain classmates, and within that 2 weeks, more than what you are learning, God brought you there and connected you to certain people, because 5 years to come, you will need one of those people to be used by God to open a door for you. And when you are there, you will love only Christians and hate Muslims. You will love only Christians or love only your tribesmen and hate other people. And the Spirit of God will say, you are wasting time. You are not discerning. Everyone there has potential to be used by God to bless you. Are we learning? The third kind of relationship, very quickly, they are called destiny relationships. These are relationships that do not die because there is prophecy on them. General relationships, seasonal relationships, and destiny relationships. These are people who are part of the overall equation of what God is doing in your life. All of these relationships happen to us every day, and we must have the discernment to know who is in my destiny as sent by God beyond my current level. If you do not know this, do you know, many people, especially those who are non-Christians, they know the value of what I'm telling you. They will go out of their way to consult with diviners. Help me check who are these people who should be in my life. This man, this woman, this business partner, are they correct? And the man can conjure all kinds of powers and say, this one is there to stay. He will not help you now, but 15 years after now, this is the man that God will use to lift you. So they will maintain these relationships even when they don't make sense. The man will be a troublemaker for 11 years. And yet you will see the people carrying them like extra luggages. And sometimes you are tempted to say, can't you drive this driver? Send this man out of your house. Except that they understand that in the midst of all of this, there is destiny. Can I tell you, there are people who there is no reason why they should be in your life now. And God will still say, keep them. Because their relevance is not yet now. If you have the discernment to be patient, the next 20 years of your life can be secured. Yes, sir. I wish I were lying to you. I would have just said sorry. But what I'm saying is so true. If you ignore what I'm saying, you may spend the rest of your life paying the price. Have you seen people that you once knew, and at the time you knew them, there was an opportunity and you knew there was something in your spirit. There was a call for genuine connection. You ignored them either because they had appearances that were not appealing. Welcome to 10 years later of your life. And you find them at the cutting edge of influence. And now you're biting your fingers and wondering, why didn't I say good morning that day? Good morning that day would have equaled an estate today. Are we together? In my life, let me tell you sincerely, there are people who have been very nice and kind to me in times past. And sometimes I sit down and I'm meditating and the Lord just brings in their images and brings in things. And I sit down and say, it's been such a long time. I could call, make calls and say, find out for me about this person. How is he or how is she? How are they doing? And in all honesty, sometimes God just put things in my heart and I just say, let me surprise this family and do something for them. And they are amazed. Sometimes they call and they are crying and they are saying, Apostle, you mean you could remember us? Your God bless you. Of yesterday, you're helping someone lift a Bible yesterday can be equivalent to the job of your 5 children. You may not know. There are people today The only bad thing that will happen to them in their life is hellfire. But as far as this earth is concerned, they will never suffer on earth again. Because they have stretched like an octopus. They have mastered relationships and put together systems and structures that immune them from failure. Perhaps the only way they may, the only place they may have missed it is not acknowledging the lordship of Jesus. But as far as the earth is concerned, they have sorted their destinies. Every time they make calls, there are memories of their investments in the lives of too many people for them to be ignored. Like Gideon, they will make one call and 32,000 people will come and say, "We remember in 1971, you treated us well. What do you want? My son is not able to get to the university. My son is not getting a visa. When I'm the ambassador, bring the passport." They said that there's something, he didn't spell his name well. I will correct it myself. Let me tell you, suffering is relative. Don't generalize it. There are people who were wise enough to say, "I can't suffer now and suffer later." So while they were going through the constraints of today, they said, "I may not have had the privilege to be educated. I may not have had the privilege to come from a family whose status is noteworthy. But now I will use this opportunity." Can I tell you, there are cleaners today who have become billionaires because they honored their way through cleaning into wisdom that blessed them. And those who were raised in the same house, who trivialized the opportunities, did not learn anything. There are men of God today who, when they started ministry, they didn't even know they would be men of God. They started maybe as secretaries. They started maybe as cleaners. And every time they would go and watch the man of God pray, 3 hours, because you are the one who cleans his room, you have that access to see his personal life. Wow. So this is how this man prays. You now go and start doing your own small prayer too. And one day fire falls on your head from a cleaner. He brings you as an apostle. Are you learning something tonight? Yes, sir. Most of you, the reason, and I'm saying this sincerely from my heart, many of us today, God gave us a chance for a beautiful and a great destiny. We lost it out of lack of discernment. But thank God you are in church. There are many angry people today who keep looking at great people caught across different areas. I used to know this man. Today he is the chairman board of so and so. And he can't even remember me. Question, what investment did you make? You can't just show up in people's destinies and say, "Remember me." No. Honestly, if you learn what I'm sharing with you tonight, you will come and say thank you tomorrow, because it will grant you the wisdom that will cause you to excel. Are we blessed? Yes. There are people today, in their old age, they may not even have any, respectfully speaking, they may not have any responsible children, but they will never beg for bread. Because in their days of youth, they were mothers to too many people for them to beg for bread. The ones taking care of them today are not even their biological children. Because of someone who stayed, maybe when he was on IT as a student, he stayed in their house and mama treated that person as though he was their own child. And you see the boy with his 200 naira cloth and his torn shirt. He vowed that one day you will laugh because of me. 10 years later, he comes with a car. He comes with a house. He comes with a trip, a vacation trip. And people say, "This is too much." He said, "No, if she could see that glory in me 10 years ago, then I will invest in her life for the remaining part of my life." Make reference to my teachings, The Law of Seasons. Please, if you are yet to listen to it, go ahead and listen to it. The Mystery of Pharaoh's Dream, The Law of Seasons. You can find it on our YouTube page, Koinonia Global. Please listen to it again and again. What to do with your 7 years of plenty that will help you stand tall even in your 7 years of nothing. Relationships are powerful. They are advantageous connections. Now let's run very quickly and see a few principles, Knowing then that associations and relationships are all important as far as our growth and excelling is concerned, let's learn a few kingdom principles that can help us have and maintain quality destiny relationships. Are you ready? Please pray in the spirit in 1 minute while you're seated. Open my eyes, O God, grant me the grace. Blessed by association. Someone here is rising. A man of God here is rising. A businessman is rising. Someone is shaking off the limitations of today to say, I may not have been able to do anything about yesterday, but I can hear this today and it sets me on a course for a great life. Hallelujah. Please write, number one. The first principle when it has to do with maintaining relationships. Are you ready now? Avoid competitive jealousy. Write it down. Don't say this is basic. You just write it and listen. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. Avoid competitive jealousy. It is a weakness in all men. Competitive jealousy has nothing to do with being good or bad. It's a limitation in men. The moment we feel incapacitated based on an obvious reference, the temptation is there. It is something you must be intentional about. You think because you have the Holy Ghost, because you have the Word, automatically everyone will at one point or the other be tempted on this wise. It takes knowledge to immune you. Are we together? The Bible says a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Avoid competitive jealousy. Next scripture, very quickly. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. The Bible says wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That means these things are bad. Oh, anger is not good, but relative to envy, anger is like a saint. Competitive jealousy. Can I tell you this? Except you've not been alive for a while, you must have come across this as a temptation. And the Lord is granting you the grace now to build through the immunity of the Word. You must enter into a covenant that when God brings you to people and associations that are for your destiny, you must make up your mind that you will fight with the determination of a warrior to make sure that you run away from competitive jealousy. We live in a world of social media. We live in a world of statistics where it is easy for people to compare and contrast. Whether as a man of God, whether as a businessman, we live in a celebrity world where there is an obsession to show that you are the one doing this or that. You have to be very careful. Thank God for westernization, but we must be very careful because it's turning human beings to become something else. Are we together now? There is dignity in your uniqueness. You must appreciate who and what God has made out of you. You know, many times when I speak, especially to preachers, when they come to meet me, you can see this air of sincere intimidation as though, Apostle, you are the ones who are doing this and that. And very quickly and lovingly, I hush them and I say, no, do not think so. The basis of our judgment is already flawed based on our mindset. You will have to be God to judge correctly. You would have called Anna the prophetess a failure because all she did was to stay in the temple for more than 60 years. Who would give her honorarium? Who would put posters with her face there? Yet that was the first person that Jesus was brought to before he met other people. What of Simeon the prophet? Our parameters for measuring success, especially in our world today, has to be re-edited from the lens of God's word, so that we do not put the pressure that begins to fabricate competitive jealousy. Chances are excellent that when you see a man of God who seems to be charismatic, warded as we call, seems to have the anointing, a crowd, some level of influence, chances are that based on our human parameter, we place those people high, we give them, we accord them respect. And don't get me wrong, priesthood has a demand for honor. And within the boundary of priesthood, the honor that is demanded should be accorded. But not to the detriment of those who may seem to be the nobodies. Because you see, I have learned something by scripture and experience. When God hides you, is proof that you are extremely special to Him. One of the ways that God shows how special a person or a thing is that He hides it. Look at the formation of the human body. The parts that are more precious, that are really responsible for your being alive and healthy, are hidden. Something can bruise your hand right now, and within a few days it can heal back. But let that happen to your heart. Let that happen to your liver. Let that happen to your lungs. Avoid competitive jealousy. Is God speaking to us? Yes. Envy and jealousy is something that is in us humans. Generally, there is a psychology to it. That, you see, everyone sincerely, no matter how right or wrong, generally speaking, everyone sincerely is attempting to make efforts to make meaning out of their lives. Whether or not they end up getting it is a different thing. But intrinsically, I've had the honor and privilege of talking with all kinds of people. You can talk with someone who is a drug addict and you look at him and say, my friend, now that you are in this, do you love this kind of life you're living? He will tell you no. He will say, what did you aspire to be? They will tell you, I wanted to be a pilot, I wanted to be a this and that. So nobody generally would want to just get up and destroy themselves. Except that, you see, I teach the school of ministry students that success has an implication on those who are the onlookers. Because the moment you are commanding results of any sort, generally, your result kills the excuses of people who have used excuses to justify mediocrity. So if they say, I was not able to do well, they say, no, that's not true. What of so and so, under the same condition? And that becomes the root of jealousy. Avoid competitive jealousy. What makes you avoid competitive jealousy? The knowledge that you are a unique expression of God's glory. Unique expression of God's glory. Are we blessed? Number two. How do you maintain relationships? Avoid ill or evil speaking. Avoid ill or evil speaking. And that extends to things like backbiting, gossip, and so on and so forth. Avoid ill or evil speaking. Three scriptures very quickly. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Let's hurry up. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Second principle. Avoid evil or ill speaking. That extends to gossips, backbiting. Titus 3 and verse 2. The Bible says to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Did you know there are people who literally do not have a conversation if it's not gossip? I hope you are not the one. As you are talking back at me now, I hope you are not just talking about someone else. I'm not being sarcastic. No discussion if it's not a discussion about this one and that one. Have you seen what is happening in the presidency? Have you seen what is happening with men of God in our world? And we sit down and analyze for the purpose of demeaning and destruction, not building. Avoid evil speaking. God gave you the gift of words and a mind for edification and lifting, not for tearing down others. Are we learning? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at 16 to 19. Proverbs chapter 6. God is delivering someone right now tonight. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Now pay attention. When the Lord tells you He hates something, you want to know what it is. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one, a proud look. Two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Four, a heart that devised wicked imaginations. Five, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Seven, what number now? Six, a false witness that speaketh lies. And then the Bible says, he that soweth discord among brethren. May God forbid it, but the responsibility of leadership and ministry mandates that I teach it. That you do not become the person who goes from house to house, place to place, job to job, joining the heads of innocent people together. Did you hear what this pastor said about you? Did you hear what this one said about you? And the other person says, really? I've been waiting for this moment. No. One of the ways we make decisions is to understand the consequences that are at the other side of the decisions before we make them. Is God helping us? Now, I don't mean, listen, we are people of love. When I teach like this, you know that I teach from a standpoint of love. But there are times that we need to bring out, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are we together? Maybe some of us came from backgrounds where sincerely, that was all you saw and that was all you knew. Every time people sat together, all that they did was to analyze this, analyze that. Now, the difference between a meaningful discussion and backbiting or evil speaking is motive. You will eventually have to talk about people and talk about things. Are we together? But the difference is motive. As leaders, you will have to talk about people. As family people, parents, children, you will have to discuss people. But the difference is motive. When your discussion is to create an occasion to tear people down, it is called evil speaking. We must obtain grace tonight in the name of Jesus Christ to be mature, to rise beyond the grip of these kinds of things. And many of us, this is how we derive our relevance among our associations. We are usually the ones who bring in news. Have you heard, we say? What again? Ah, you didn't hear that the other director did this one and that. I saw it all. One of the blessings of being purposeful is focus. That when you are purposeful, your purpose occupies you so much, you hardly have extra time for frivolities and the things that make for base living. Are we together now? Avoid evil speaking. You want to maintain relationships that bless you? Please pay attention to the end of it, because there are a few things about men that I will have to tell you. Number three, for sake of time. Are you ready? And are you learning? Koinonia is quiet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is walking. Are you ready? The third key to maintaining quality destiny relationships is avoid offense. Write it down. Avoid offense. What is offense? Offense is the ease with which you get irritated, agitated, angry, resentful. The ease. There are some of us who are as volatile as kerosene or petrol. Anything at all. Even if Jesus is said loud, it's enough to annoy you. No. You must avoid offense. I believe that this was one of the things that brought John the Baptist down. Because John spent his time and had a wonderful track record. But when he was now done, he himself said, I must decrease, that Jesus would increase. Excellent. John would have finished strong and well. Except that when he went, he was idle and he was no longer shining. An offense came in. Are we together now? Yeah. And he now went to go and discuss another man's business, and they jailed him, about to kill him. And now he sent the man who ordained Jesus. He said, go and tell him, are you the Messiah? Or should we expect another? That kind of statement. When someone looks at you, haven't blessed him for years, or haven't blessed her for years and say, are you really my father or my mother? That is not a statement deserving an answer. It is proof that offense has come in. The way you are behaving, are you really my father? And what do you think your father would do when you ask him that kind of question? Because everybody that asks it, receives it. Are you learning? Can I tell you this? By the privilege of walking in the anointing, I can tell you, you will never be trusted with the anointing over nations if you live in offense. Because you see, the probability of you being offended is 100% every day. 100, not 99.9, 100% every day. As I'm standing here right now preaching, talking to the whole world, I'm sure someone is trying to call my phone. And you'll be surprised among the hundreds of text messages I will receive. You will think it's everybody saying, bless you, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Until you find a text that says, I used to know you 10 years ago. You were not this arrogant. Now that I'm calling and you are not picking, I think you need to go for a retreat. What do you do? Listen. I'm being very truthful and honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. Some of those text messages have come from you. Even if it's the you before, it still came from you. Are we together now? Look up. Can you stand in the midst of fire and yet your joy is intact? There are people today who continue to visit the hospital daily because they have not been enlightened spiritually to know that offense is something that if you allow it to come in like a cancer and tear you to death. Someone can look at you and out of all the wonderful commendations that God is giving about you, oh, you are the director, they just gave you an appointment. Another person will send a text and say, so the whole of Nigeria, the presidency did not know. We need to pray for deliverance. You are the one they brought to punish us. And now you are reading the text message. You are laughing because it has happened to you. Some of you, after ministering, and you can watch the worship team ministering, and all you are seeing is what was wrong. Why didn't you continue and extend the song? That song is not all. There is a part of it you didn't sing. Is that, didn't you enjoy the part you heard? Say, in the name of Jesus, I obtain grace to rise above offense. As you enter this door and come for koinonia, offense starts. Someone can push you and sit down in a way that is it church you came to or you came to destroy us? And the person says, it's me you are talking to. When they make the altar call, make sure you are the first who comes here. And two of you are talking. And you see, in the minds of the people, everybody believes he's the one who is in a right relationship with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is watching two of you. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul speaking about the character of true love. He says that love does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not her own. That love is not easily provoked or easily angered and thinketh no evil. Can I tell you this? When you look at your world and you see a world full of evil, you are right. If you look at your world and you see a world full of the glory of God, you are right. You must train your eyes to see what God is doing. Train your eyes to see that in the midst of the decadence, oh, men of God are fake, men of God are collecting powers around. Is that what you are seeing? Or are you seeing that God is lifting people and helping people? And even helping those who were ones who now went to dabble themselves in a lot of things. Why don't you see them coming back to the faith? And you see God rising and the church growing. You must maintain a gaze that is consistent with the mind of Christ. When Jesus looked at man as a species, his creation, he would have seen death, hell, decadence, all kinds of things. But he came full of love. And even while they looked at him, he hung on that cross. When he stood with Barabbas, they were willing to release a criminal so that they would crucify him. He watched the faces of the people and he saw those who ate his bread. He saw those who took all of these things. They were there at his crusade. And they even had the effrontery to say, let his blood be on our children. And the innocent children were there watching. They didn't know what they were putting on their heads. And Jesus looked at them. And with the compassion that only God can have, love poured out from him to them. Very powerful. Listen, let me tell you, when you live a life that is void of offense, not fake deliverance, genuine deliverance from offense. Anytime you find reason for offense, remember what Jesus did for you. And remember what you did to him. Remember.
I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever, I will love you. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in adoration.
Listen, many of us today do not have friends in our lives. The lifespan of relationship with you is 2 weeks. You must fight. You must fight. It's not just an attack. You've been delivered, hands have been laid on you, you took communion, come on. This is not about demons. You must come to yourself like the prodigal, whether son or daughter, prodigal person this night. Listen to what I'm saying. Please pay attention. You can't continue to live your life like this. The moment people are afraid of you because they know in 5 minutes, something must annoy you. They gather during wedding. You are watching. In 5 minutes, you are already angry. Someone comes and says, please, can I pick something? Can you? Is it only my table? Why don't you just embrace the fruit of the Spirit? Listen. I have a responsibility to teach you this. Many of us would have been greater than we are now. Do you know there are people who, there were deliberations around your promotion. And from a standpoint of your technical knowledge, you were sound. But they said, this person cannot be trusted with this office. His anger and his offense will kill everybody. We will lose in this company. Not because of lack of technical know-how. He does not have the maturity and the stability. Can I tell you this? Weakness is great strength in the spirit. Don't be under pressure to prove that you are not a small person. Look, let me tell you, Abuja, this is one thing I saw in this city. Everybody is a big man and nobody, once you manage, look, just because I didn't come out with my car today, don't think I have... I watch with shock and wonder how people behave. And what is this? The fact that you have to say you are a big man, that already. Because the Bible says, neither do men put a lamb. See, let me tell you something about God. If God has lifted you, bar, you are lifted. If you are not yet there, no matter what you do, something in you will betray you and let people see that there is a loophole. You are not really there. Avoid offense. Number 4. Principles of relationships. Are you ready? Practice forgiveness. Write it down. Forgiveness is a type of giving. It's not only tithes and offerings you give. Forgiveness is a type of giving. Practice forgiveness. Mark 11:25. Very quickly, please, let's rush. Media, help us. Mark 11:25. Do we have it projected? Mark 11:25.
The Bible says, and when ye stand praying, here it is. You know Africans pray. You know Nigerians pray. Tongue-talking Christians. When ye stand praying, the Bible says, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you. Forgive. Ephesians 4:32.
I'm only imagining someone's heart will say, Apostle, jog this one. Let's go to something else. Don't bring forgiveness, because God is saying, thank you, my son. I've been trying to drum it to this person. Forgive. Forgive your wife. Forgive your husband. And you are so uncomfortable coming to church. Please sit quietly. This is why God brought you. So that you will be blessed. So that you will be lifted.
The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Can I tell you this? Anybody who tells you forgiveness is easy is lying. Anybody who tells you forgiveness is easy has not been offended in this life. There are people who are too innocent to understand this teaching this night. Nothing has happened in their life. They've been shielded by so many people. Forgiveness is a kind of giving. And you see, the thing about forgiveness is, when you forgive, you don't help the one you are forgiving. You help yourself. It is true. Bitterness and offense is like piercing yourself with a knife and holding it there. Bitterness and offense is like drinking poison and expecting another person to die. You keep gulping poison and watch. You are not dead. Let me drink another one. You are not dead. Let me drink another one. Are you learning? Practice forgiveness. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Let's hurry up. Luke 6:37. Kilamando saprakatuziata. Principles of relationships. It says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Did you know that the people who have it hardest to forgive are the ones who are even in greater need of forgiveness? Is that true? You will never be able to excel having profitable relationships and profitable associations. You will never be able to live with anybody, any organization, any friends at all, if you do not practice forgiveness. There are families that have siblings that are like Tom and Jerry, cats and dogs. It is possible that there are couples here, listening and here in Koinonia. They don't talk to one another. When it's time to sleep, everybody just goes to their side of the bed, just jumps there, and everybody is talking to God. Two of them. This one is saying, Lord, I thank you. You are my God. And he's saying it in a way that pains the other person. Lord, if I depend on men, will I ever rise? Thank you for your mercy. Come on. Listen, this is the night when you go back home and swallow your pride. Tonight, come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in his hands are the keys to eternal life. It's a little here, a little there, and then your day will dawn. He's at work in you, changing everything in obedience. Listen, can I tell you this? If you don't practice saying, I am sorry, you will never be able to excel in this life. Nations have gone to war today simply because someone was too proud to say, I am sorry. I'm sorry does not kill. I'm sorry simply means I am better today than I was yesterday. Are we together? There are people who have lost jobs today simply because they could not say, I am sorry. There are people who have lost profitable relationships, business relationships. They have been driven from companies today because they could not say, I am sorry. Let me teach you something. Do not allow your spiritual growth
to make for an occasion where you cannot say, I'm sorry. There are parents that need to say, I'm sorry to their children. Don't be ashamed. It does not stop you from being a father or mother. There are children who need to say, I'm sorry. If a man pays your school fees and you come back with a result that is an evil report, why should he not quarrel you? Now you get angry and you are not contributing anything. I'm sorry. Has sent nations to go for war. There are people today, politicians, including men of God, there are people today who cannot see eyeball to eyeball. I am sorry. The pride of man is beyond comprehension. Is someone learning? Yeah. You must, as a principle, practice forgiveness. Remember that forgiveness is a kind of giving. Apostle, you don't know me, oh, I'm cool. But if anybody annoys me, it's an attack. We've been holding miracle services here. We've asked that people write their prayer requests. Why do you think we kneel down and pray on these things? See, I'm saying this to you so that I trust God that God will help us to live such an excelling life. In truth, I will tell you, it's easier said than done. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Maybe there is a couple that need to go back home tonight and say, look, let's stop this thing. This is 1 year of this childishness. Let's sit down. The man is waiting for the woman to take the step. I paid your bride price. The woman is waiting for the man to take the step. You are the one who came to ask me. See, provided this kind of self keeps happening, God in heaven who created us is not ashamed to come and say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with my loving kindness. Self is a terrible thing. It can recycle seasons of pain again and again and again. There are people who stole from factories and were sent away. And just the unashamedness to go back and say, look, I really am sorry. This is it. I take responsibility. There are politicians, respectfully speaking, who have, maybe in time past, I hope not presently so, have stolen money from the, and I'm sorry and a sense of responsibility. No, sir. Practice forgiveness. Some of you are even offended with God right now. God, I don't know how you want us to pray again. I've prayed everything. You one day, oh dear, I wish you could read some of the text messages people sent me. Since they cannot see God, you who have said you are representing Him, they carry that aggression that since He didn't reach the throne room. They bring it and land it on you. They can write something like, Apostle, good evening. I'm tired. I don't know da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this and that and that. I'm offended. Since God hears you, talk to Him. And you know what? Now. Imagine that I see that and I call the person. I say, see, don't think because I'm preaching quiet. No. See. Our world interprets a life of aggression as masculinity. By masculinity, I don't just mean it to males. When you are cool-headed and you are temperate, the world looks at you as a weak person. They like people who are aggressive. You are almost like, I don't want to use the expression a freedom fighter because, you know, and it looks like you are somebody who fights to the end. And people say, that's right. Can I tell you, in this kingdom, learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. There are times when you are strongest, when you look weakest. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when you are strong and you can bring your strength under control, you are strong indeed. I know a gentleman many years ago, he used to be a builder and then he fights boxing. I think they have a license. You don't fight outside the ring. There are some rules that they have. And one time, you know, he had a problem with this bike man. And the bike man, so he told me, was just shouting and said, don't think because you are big, I can be. And he looked at him and said, oh dear. I mean, look at this guy.
Can I tell you?
When you have the power to do so much and you can restrain yourself, you deserve an applause by the whole world indeed for the dexterity and the excellency of your maturity. God had the power to call 10,000 angels, and yet he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. You could imagine Satan and the Roman government saying, finally, we brought this man to his knees. This was the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, looking so weak, had bled and looked very weak. Let me tell you this, fear weak people. It was weakness that killed strength on the cross. When you see people look weak or act weak towards you, it's not that they are incapacitated. It's that they are walking based on a higher level of light and intelligence. By this, some of you need to go to your office tomorrow and stop that petty fight and, you know, some of these things that is almost rubbishing your pedigree. No. Buy a gift and go and give the person, and the woman is saying, no, there must be charm in this gift. You would think she would say, thank you. No, I don't trust this person. Go and throw it. No problem. As for me, I've made up my mind that I will live a peaceful life. A peaceful life is a goal that you can set. And live a peaceful life within the times that you have, serving the purposes of the kingdom. And I challenge you, my proposal to you is that you rise to a higher realm of living. There is a superior realm of living above and beyond the grips of this kind of mediocre living. There is living with excellence. And this is the key. We're almost done. Number five, very quickly. You must have a high degree of tolerance. Still, Colossians chapter 3 from 12 to 13. Tolerance is similar to forgiveness, except that tolerance means you are prepared to have that offense happen again. You see, the difference between forgiveness and tolerance is that forgiveness is making accommodation for weakness. Are we together now? A one-time weakness. Tolerance means you factor in that limitation and live with it, because it will happen again and again and again. There are people who you need to go past forgiving them. They will not change. Create a system of tolerance. Are we together? I remember many years ago, truthfully speaking, I was talking to a couple, and I think the woman was saying that the man, that he is not responsible, and yet he prays like a prayer warrior. When he is shouting to the roof, and you know, she just said he should reduce his voice, he's disturbing her, and so on and so forth. I couldn't say forgive him, because that will not end. For as long as that man will pray, now that you are married to him, you are there for life. They ask you all these questions, you said yes. Now you are there. Are we together now? And honestly, when I saw the man, he truly is a prayer warrior. When you hear his voice, you know that, oh no, this man is not, he doesn't come and just mumble tongues. He prays, he's praying. And she felt he was not being as responsible as she should be. Now, how do you tell her, forgive him? Forgive him means you don't expect it to happen again. Tolerance means it will happen again and again and again. An example, your security man. Remember, you forgave him January. He promised that it would not happen again, and he slept on duty. He slept on duty and promised that if he sleeps again, you should drive him. And he slept before you came here. So let me advise you and tell you what to do. You don't forgive him. You tolerate him. You see, disappointment only comes when there are expectations. When there are no expectations, there is no disappointment. Tolerance. Some of the people that God is going to be using to bless you and lift you, let me tell you, for a major part of your relationship with them, you will feel like killing them and killing yourself. You will need to be tolerant until the day the grace that was on them for you comes to fruition. Read about Elijah, historically speaking. You know that Elijah was a temperate man. So don't blame the sons of the prophets. I'm sure they had had it enough with him. But Elisha said, no way. It was Dr. Murdoch who said, adaptation is proof of honor. You have to learn to adapt. The man who God has sent to help you and give you money to start out life, he's an angry man. Don't forgive him, tolerate him. He will insult you for 1 year, but the day he sends an alert into your account, it will be an answer to your prayer of 10 years. Endure, endure, endure hardship as a faithful soldier. Don't say, I'm angry. Is it God? And then you make that costly mistake and you find out later through your pain that all blessings come from God through man to man. Are we together? I'm saying this because I doubt if there are any persons here who are not connected to some superiors who may not have the most commendable character disposition. It's not unusual with leaders. Whether in ministry, whether in corporate life, whether in family life, you will find reasons to have superiors, contemporaries, and even subordinates that may not be at their best character-wise. Now the responsibility is on you to build that system of tolerance so that you can stay in the harshest of environments and still find your joy until the blessing that that environment should give you comes. Many of you, if you don't learn this, you will abort many great seasons in your life because of anger. I rather die than come and be washing a car for my uncle. Am I God? And the Holy Spirit says, keep washing. But then one day, as you wash that car, you will not know you are washing your own car. And your uncle comes out and says, sit down here. Let me tell you a story. In 1945, and by the time he's done telling you that story, and he tells you how he lived under a bridge, he tells you how he was betrayed and stabbed when a car hit him, he now starts telling you his stories. Then you will be broken. And you will say, and you are still standing? You lost your job. You lost all your investments in 1971. You went abroad only for you to be jailed in prison for 5 years. Uncle, I never knew this about you. And now you see the reason why he's suspicious of everybody. Because he's had over how many decades of pain. Can I tell you? You must be able to tolerate and forbear people just because they've not told you their stories. There are people who have been so broken and wounded in relationships. The moment they see anybody coming close, I'm not even talking of just married relationships, any kind. They have been scammed by business people. Someone has come and said, I want to marry you, and the person just broke their heart and went away. And the moment they see someone coming, that fear comes. Give accommodation for people's pain. Don't just generalize and conclude. There are others who have done businesses with people. They were scammed, cheated. Are we together? And they had nothing to say. So when you come to meet them and say there is a business idea, and they become so meticulous and they are asking questions, who is your father? Where do you come from? Where do you worship? And you are saying, all for this small business. Be tolerant. When people have gone through pain in their life, their pain builds a new vista by which they view life. Are we together? There are people seated here right now. You are listening to me. And you are only here truly because of the message of God. The things you've gone through in your life. Did you know that there are children who have killed their own parents? Do you know there are parents who have killed their own children? Terrorists are all across the nation. And you will be surprised that some of the people who have been kidnapped, the information and the planning came from people who were close. Sometimes a kiss that is supposed to be a sign of intimacy can be the signal to the enemy. And I'm standing here only because you made a way. That's the testimony of certain people here. They set up 5-10 companies and traveled abroad. Returned back and found out that people had changed the documents and left them in pain. Forbear. Just because people do not tell you their stories does not mean they do not have stories. Are we together? Yeah. I remember a man of God who wanted to invite me some years ago, and he kept asking questions, who is this, where did he come from? And the people who were trying to encourage him to invite me, at the point they got fed up. And they said, what kind of man is this? And when the person reached me in anger, and said, can you imagine, wanted to give this man the privilege of having you, and he was asking all kinds of senseless questions. I said, no. You may not know who has climbed his pulpit and caused a lot of pain to his membership. You may not know who climbed his pulpit and used 1 hour to create something that took 5 years to correct. Allow the man vet me. There are some of you here, you heard about me many years ago, but it took you many years of watching, of looking, of hearing, of verifying your suspicions until you got to a point where you are comfortable. You deserve to be left until you find reasons to. There are people who have not gone through anything in life or have gone through too many things they don't fear again. Yes, sir. There is a way you go through too much pain, you don't fear pain again. They bring a business, you say, no problem. I just came out of prison, let's do another one. If it doesn't work, that's it. And I'm standing here only because you made a way. Made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made. Write it very quickly, we have to end. Number 6. What is the 6th principle that you need to engage if you want to be blessed by association? You want to maintain relationships. Number 6. You have to become an active contributor to the growth of that relationship. You want to maintain relationships that count. You must be an active contributor to the growth of that relationship. Parasitic relationships are self-centered and dangerous relationships. Unfortunately, our world is full of these kinds of parasitic relationships where the contribution is one-sided. You see this with business people, you see this with family people, you see this with ministers. Can I challenge you? Do not be in any relationship where you are only receiving. There are people like that. If you ever see a text or a call from them, they are in need. So they will send the text and Calvary greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. You know that that's just a preamble. Sorry, I've come again. Oh, you know that it was by this time last year. Can I tell you this? It's a terrible thing for people to know you as being a self-centered person. It's an ugly way to live. Biology, nature teaches us that it is giving and receiving that balances life. There are people, as I speak to you now, they are so self-centered. They don't care what happens to anybody. They fish relationships like fishermen. What can I get? What is in it for me? And that is the ultimate drive. Can I tell you this? It is heartbreaking when people know that you are in their lives only to receive, never to give. It is a terrible thing. I used to give an example many years ago in Zaria, how that, I hope it doesn't happen again. You know, there are conductors that manage these vehicles that pick people, town service. And sometimes you see them all in an effort to get the car filled. They can come and dance around you and say, oh, beautiful lady, come and enter this car. And to them, they are looking at 100 naira. Or 200 naira. That's all that. They want the car to be filled so that they will move. And out of that self-centered nature, they will flatter you and say all kinds of nice things. While they are talking to you, if someone enters that car and is filled, they will leave you right there and be on their way going. Now, you are just about to enjoy the moment. It is painful when people know that all that you do to them is for yourself, through them, not for them. That means that you are nice to someone, but you've sat down and you've calculated it, that in being nice, this is what I have to gain. So let's be nice. Let's call him apostle, because these signs and wonders, we need it. After we receive it, we can call him whatever it is. That's why it pleases the Father so much when we love him and we worship him, because of who he is, not because of what we get. It gives joy to the Father when he sees us rolling on the floor, blessing his name and worshiping him. And he comes to you and says, to what end? And you say, I just love you for who you are. Imagine that someone, have you seen people who were so nice, you began to be afraid because you suspected that this cannot be for nothing. And then you now meet them and say, okay, so why, I mean, just, what is it? And they say, no, I'm just like that. Just like that. Because our world is a selfish world. Every time people say, good afternoon, sir, they are not saying, good afternoon, sir. What they mean is, you better not allow my honor pass like that without your reciprocating it. It is terrible and almost irritating to live in a self-centered world. There has to be someone who is true enough that can love you for who you are, stand with you and by you for who you are. And let me tell you this, there are people like that. Do not think everybody is a self-centered person who is just trying to use people. No, there may be many, but there are a few that are sincere. When they love sincerely. When they give sincerely. Become an active contributor to any relationship that you are part of. In your office, don't sit down and say, our boss is there. Whilst we are here, they've not increased our salary. Now December is coming, let's watch and see what will happen. No. What can I do for you, my Lord? I want you to know my heart is yours. Very powerful song. What can I do for you, my Lord? I want you to know my... I prayed and I told God something, and it's still my confession today, that I have never sought his face because of tea and bread. It's not fame or anointing or power that brought me to ministry. I came because I truly love him. And for the rest of my life, for as long as I have breath living in me, money, fame, reputation will never be motivations for my serving the Lord. Thank God for the little that, you know, he's brought, all of the tokens that follow priesthood. I am grateful and indebted to him. But that was never the motivation. I am amazed to see the things that drive people into ministry today. I am amazed to see the things that drive people into the pursuit of God today. There are many people who seek him simply because they said you will not fail when you seek him. That's an investment. I love him with my life. If he tells me to put down this mic today and become a cleaner in this house, I stand by the God of heaven and I tell you this. You will come back next week and find me cleaning here. With the same joy and the same passion that I had. Because it's an honor to serve His Majesty. It's a privilege to be counted as one who can be a lifter of His word to the nations. You must change your perspective. Many of you are disappointed today because you are not contribution conscious. You are receiving conscious. You come to the house of someone and you say, this man is a rich man. See money all over the table. And you are watching, senator, honorable. And in your mind, you are saying, God punish you, sir. You are my uncle, and we've been suffering like this. His car is dirty, you never wash it. There is no, let me tell you this. Ask blessed people or people of influence. They are very, very fast to detect people who are selfless. You come to the house, and in 5 minutes, you are washing the car. You are looking for something to do. First, they will suspect that you are not sincere. Then they will allow time to prove your sincerity. When they find you true, they will bring you in and even treat you more than their biological children. There are people who are working in certain corporations today not because they merited it by their technical skills. they have shown such level of selflessness and dependability. It's true. Do not be a self-centered person. What is in it for me? We do this, sadly, I love my precious nation, Nigeria, but we need to change our values and our ideology. Every time we see a politician or a head of parliament or some wealthy person, the first thing is, what is in it for me? Wow, this is his car? Sean, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I'm greeting you. Why can't you think and say, what can I do? How can I improve this man's life? Sir, it looks like, can I wash your car? For how much? No, nothing. Just to honor you as a seed. It is powerful when you find selfless people who love you and love what you are doing just like that. Can I tell you, I found a few of these people in my life and in this ministry, and my goodness, it is priceless to watch selflessness in action. You see everything done with passion, and the goal is never for self. Change your mindset. Some of you have been hated by many people today. Battles that are needless. I can't be friends with this man. He's not a millionaire. What will I get? Nothing. Go. What of you? I hear your dad is a senator. Can we be friends? Oh, he didn't win the election. Oh, really? Okay, you'll hear from me. And that's it. Nobody wants to commit himself to a life over something that will not last. Because of selflessness. There are politicians here, and there are many who are listening. You see people dance around them during election, get their money the moment they lose that election. Not even a call to say, may the Lord encourage you. They delete the number immediately. And they go to the opposing person. Well done, sir. I didn't tell you. I've really been for you. It's not just that I didn't... I made up my mind that as far as it depends on me, I will serve the Lord with all my heart. Can I tell you sincerely, my beloved people, I have never served you and served Jesus so that I can get something from my pocket or get a name. I stand by the God who called me. I'm telling you this. When I serve you as a privilege from the depth of my heart. It is an honor that God gave me. If I die today, you will try to raise me back. If I don't wake up, you will go and throw me in the grave. And that's the end of it. And the work of the Lord continues. It is a privilege to be able to serve. Most men of God will not be able to say this because they think if you say it, people will look down on you. It's the truth. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. As for me, I will serve with all my heart. I will serve His Majesty, and I will serve as many as He has brought under my care. But let me challenge you. Be a selfless person. There are some of you who, because of this attitude of not contributing, you can stand with a friend. You are discussing kingdom. You can buy bonds for almost 200 naira. Eat in the presence of the person, finish it, squeeze the leather, drop it, and you are still talking. What sort of a life is that? We have to change. There are some of us who will buy food in front of children. They are running around us. You will eat there and the children. God, don't disturb me. And finish it there and leave the children. When I saw the video of our visitation to the IDP camps, I saw the hunger ravaged faces of some of those children. I was almost in tears. I said, every one of these kids have a destiny in Christ. And just because you are not in their position, however you are able to reach them, let these people see the love of Jesus. I was even told, I hope I'm right on that, that there was one who had malaria to a point that it deteriorated the person. He was in coma in the camp there. It was when the doctors, when they saw the person, they rushed. I hope the person survived. Can I tell you, life is beautiful when you are a giver. Life is beautiful when you can give. There is a law that when you give, it comes to you. But focus on the giving. It is more blessed to give, not just money. There are many of us who are like that. A program is organized, 1 naira from it does not come from you. someone is doing something in your city and your area, you are never part of anything that does not directly benefit you. If your name will be written on it and some kind of honor will be given, then I can do it. But once I'm going to be silent, no, I want a name through it. No. It is my prayer for everyone here that every relationship that you have now in your life and every association, you become an intentional contributor. If you are a man of God, you have friends, don't sit down and say people are forgetting my birthday, forgetting my anniversary, forgetting... No! Become a contributor to that relationship. Hello, how are you? I notice it's like I've been sensing in my heart that you're not happy. Is there anything I can pray for you for? No. Please talk to me. You can trust me. I can pray. And the person says, thank God I found someone. Do you know what it means to be a shoulder for someone to lean on? It's more than being gifted. Being gifted is wonderful, but it can be limited. You've heard me say that my greatest desire, aside being a minister of the gospel, is that by the grace and the mercy of God, that I can be a shoulder for someone to lean on. It's true. We don't have all this life. That if someone is crying, let my hands at least be able, if I cannot do anything, let me help to wipe the tears. If I cannot pray with you and I cry with you together, and I say, Lord, show mercy to this person. It's a contribution. Let me challenge you. Do not allow this week from today till next Sunday happen without you doing something active and quality in the life of someone, especially someone undeserving. Are we blessed? Let me give you the final one and we're done for tonight. So 6, be an active contributor to the growth of that relationship. It is also the reason why we're having the Workers' Appreciation Dinner, an opportunity. I'm the one hosting it to tell the people thank you. Thank you. It's one thing to be called by God. I can tell you one truth, that God has blessed me and bless this ministry with such passionate workers. People who love Jesus sincerely. You know that they are not just doing it for apostle. Number 7. The 7th key, as far as maintaining relationships that eventually culminate to your being blessed, is that you practice genuine love. Write it down. This is the last. Practice genuine love. 3 scriptures very quickly. Proverbs 10:12. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. John 13:35, very instructive scripture. John 13:35. By this singular sign, this singular attribute, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not when you are an anointed apostle, not when you have a great ministry, not when you pray in tongues. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love not for me, one to another. Your love life is the clearest biblical index to measure your maturity, more than tongues, more than rhema, more than Greek and Hebrew words, more than the theatrics of ministry. Love. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. From verse, let's see, 26. 1 John 4. Let's start from, is there 20? 1 John 4. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he had not seen. Are you seeing that now? That if you say you love God and you hate men, there is something questionable about your love. Your love for God is tested in and through your love for men. Can I tell you this? Loving the undeservable is true love. When you love people who do not deserve to be loved, that is true love. One of the secrets that I learned about walking in the anointing is that if you want to see the power of God manifest in such marvelous dimensions in your life, then you must be one who walks in genuine love, not selective love. Genuine love. It must become your default disposition. And I have, by the grace of God, kept this truth, and I have seen it work in my life. There are pastors who hate their members. You cannot bless a people you hate. The power of God cannot flow through you to bless the people. God sees my heart, and God knows that I love everyone who is part of this vision, that I love you sincerely. Not because of anything, no. My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands and thousands. My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands and thousands. Yeshua. Yeshua. Medical doctors are here. They will tell you that living in anger, bitterness, jealousy, all these things I have mentioned, they don't just have spiritual side effects. They have medical side effects. You can literally dry up your bones. There are many sicknesses today that were not originally caused by demons. Demons only found a door and cashed in on it to bring many people down to their knees and sadly many to the grave. And Lot went with him. Association demands that you rid yourself of jealousy. Association demands forbearance, forgiveness. Association demands that you become an active contributor. Show me any man or any woman by God who walks in keeping with these principles and remains alone. Show me any man or woman by God who walks in keeping with these principles who will remain small and mediocre. No, it is a key to an excelling life. It is a key to an excelling destiny. Many people, by this message tonight, God intends for you to be healed, to show you first and foremost that your ignoring the power of associations and relationship is costing you more than you would ever know. And then number two, to make up your mind, determined by the power and the grace of God, that from tonight until forever, I am going to insist on quality relationships by practicing these principles. Go back home, go online, and listen to this message again and again. Don't assume you have gotten everything. Listen to it as many times as your spirit would require until it becomes spirit and life. And then obtain grace from God to immediately become a practitioner of these truths. And you will watch your life with astonishing wonder move from one dimension of grace to the other. First, your life will become a true expression of the life and the character of the Christ in experience. And then number two, you will find out that you become an attractive force, drawing all kinds of men, all kinds of helpers, all kinds of individuals who come into your life ready to hold your hands, ready to defend you, ready to stand by you, ready to lift you, that no matter what the problem has been as far as background and the rest is concerned, God is giving you a key tonight that can help you. Are you ready to pray? Please rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Let's take a minute or two to pray, and then I'll speak over your life. Listen to me. I want you to hear this while you're standing. I hope that in another teaching, God will grant us grace, probably next year, to teach you about men. There are things about men you need to understand. One, all men are men. So let it be no news to you. All men, no matter how great, no matter how anointed, all men, the best of any and every man is still a man. So there should be no surprises. Number two, listen carefully, that as flawed as men are, God still hides his treasures in men. The secret of working with men was found in the riddle of Samson. Out of something strong came something sweet. Samson passed to go and see a particular woman, and he killed a lion. And after 7 days, the bees, they did not find a fresh green tree to put honey. They went and put honey inside a carcass. It's a riddle there. If you want the honey, you must be willing to endure the smell of that carcass. In the midst of the smell of that carcass, there is still honey in it. Out of that angry man, still there is an anointing that can lift you. Out of that nonchalant father who does not care whether your school fees is paid or not, there might be one prophetic blessing that can come out of his bowels to lift you. Out of that self-centered relative who does not care if you die, one day his influence is able to open a door for you. Out of that man of God who always looks sarcastic, talks sarcastic, one day you will find the treasure of wisdom that can help you. Out of your siblings that may not seem to be people who have whatever kind of wisdom you desire, something will come out from them that will become your blessing. Prayer point number one. Lord, give me the stamina and the discernment to endure relationships until that which was supposed to come out from them to me comes. Lift your voice and pray. The grace to endure and the grace to be an active contributor to every relationship. Go ahead and pray. Ministerial relationships, business relationships. Go ahead and pray. Even our relationship with God, there are times we don't understand Him, but we trust Him. We trust Him. There are times it does not make sense what He's doing. There are families who trusted God and lost loved ones. There are people who trusted God and lost jobs. There are times it looks like God seems to not be understood, but even at that, we still love Him and we trust Him. There are times that you as a person, your life becomes complicated even to you. You may not even be able to explain and give definition to what you are doing. Someone is praying, Lord, grant me the grace to know that all men are men at best. Grant me the grace to be able to endure the humanity of men until I receive that treasure that is locked up within them. Hallelujah. Last prayer point on relationships now. We're going to pray. Father, in this season, bring to my life the strategic people you have ordained for the next level of my destiny. And listen, I'm not done. And grant me the grace to maintain those relationships until they bless me. Do you understand the prayer point? You are praying, listen, there are some of us, because of this teaching, God is going to close some relationships in your life. Believe me, You will not like it, but it's a circumcision. They will have to go out because they are not profiting where God is taking you to. And it does not have to be evil people. There are good people who are not so constructed for where God is taking you. God will have to cut them out of your life. But then God is also introducing new people into your space. And you must have the discernment to receive them. Because some of them will not come in the form that is worthy of reception. You need discernment. Therefore pray, Lord, in this prophetic season of my life, bring to my life the people that are responsible. Please pray. You are a politician, you are a businessman, you are a man of God. You are following online, you are a pastor watching, you are a man of God. Lift your voice and pray. A family person. Lord, bring to my life in this season. My heart is open for strategic connections. Connections that will be the lift, the ladder, and the leverage for the next level of my life. Grant me the fortitude to be friendly. Grant me the patience and the endurance to receive of these people when they come. Please pray. Send to my life, oh God, the men and women who are needed for the next season of my destiny, and grant me the grace to invest strategically into these relationships. You can also pray, cut away from my life, oh God, relationships that will only end up destroying me. Cut away from my life, oh God, relationships that are not profitable as far as the next level of my kingdom agenda is concerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God called Abraham, and Lot went with him. And Lot went with him. It's time for you to follow and follow sincerely. And it's time for you to be followed to a safe heaven. People should not follow you to doom. And you should not follow men to destruction. Followership leads to glory and honor, not destruction. Pay attention to your association. There's no such thing as we're born together. Throw away all those sentiments and be very unashamed. Go back. Let me give you an honest assignment, maybe two of them. Number one, go and write the list of the top five people in your life who are the greatest contributors to your growth, your loving Jesus, and your excelling in life. Invest in those relationships. I have taught it here. You cannot generalize relationships and treat everybody the same. Not everybody thinks you are a big deal. There are people today, Joshua Selman to them looks like, oh, it's just one of those men of God. That's all right. There are people who Joshua Selman looks to them like, oh, it's a man of God. I think he's doing something well. There are others, oh, Joshua Selman is our relative somewhere. There are others who believe that Joshua Selman is a gift from God, sent from God to them. I would be stupid to treat all these groups of people the same way. No, I love everybody, but I would not invest the same level of energy and passion into it. No. See, when you find people who make you a big deal under God, be unashamed to invest your time and energy and your resources. There are people who have shown genuine care, genuine love, genuine concern, genuine prayer, out of their way. There are others who don't care. I'm not talking about me. I'm saying when you go and look at your emotional space, your world today, you will find people who sincerely love you, who will give anything for you. Do not throw those people away. No. There are people who are very casual in your life. Construct your emotional energy. Don't just throw your strength to anybody and be disappointed. When people sow that seed of honor, respectfully speaking, there are men and women of God across the globe, across this nation, who have gone out of their way intentionally to build a relationship with me. I've been humbled, flattered, and even broken by their unashamedness to want a relationship. And now I have reciprocated with sincerity and love. You see that? If you don't invest into any relationship, don't expect returns. Don't barge into people's lives and expect that they give you the same place they are giving with everyone. It doesn't make sense. I think this is a word of caution for many of us before we wrap up. There are many of us who just appear in people's lives. No antecedents. There is no track record of your standing by them, helping them, committing to their lives and their welfare. You can't just appear into people's lives and want to be given a place of honor the same way with those. No, no, it's not done that way. There are people today I have not committed into their lives to the degree that they should give me certain levels of honor. It would be stupid of me to want that level of honor. I have not made that level of spiritual, financial, emotional investment into that relationship. Similarly, there are others who you should not just put yourself under pressure to feel that I have to invest this much. No. What was put in it? Show me prayers. Show me sacrifice. Show me forgiveness. Show me tolerance. These are the indices that makes for when someone is investing into a relationship, he does it with joy, knowing that this is what has gone into it. I'm saying this as a word of caution, so that you don't find offense when you call a man and say, I know this man. I'm calling him and he's not picking. He's a CEO today and he's acting strange. Were you there when he cried? When his children died, were you there? When they were crying in pain, and were you there? When he had a legal case, were you there to pray with him? Don't appear. Many people do this even to politicians. These people go through pain, they go through all kinds of embarrassment, and God now shows them mercy. And the moment they emerge, those who were there that suffered with them, we come and push those people away and come and stand and want a position of honor. It is unfair. So, you must obtain grace from God. You must find someone's destiny that is worth your commitment. Don't wait and say, who is there who will commit to me? It may be a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a spouse, a leader, a man of God, whoever. Make sure you do something. Let me pray for you. We have to wrap up. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare, you have taught us a very deep mystery, blessed by association, that our relationships and associations have far-reaching implications than most of us know. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. If there is any relationship that through carelessness or lack of discernment you have lost today that is costing you so much, I pray and I call upon my God who is also your God. May God show you mercy and bring restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, I pray for you that all the principles that need to be engaged to maintain quality, profitable relationships, relationships with your superiors, your contemporaries, and your subordinates, I declare the grace to walk in keeping with these principles. May you receive that grace now in Jesus' name. Thirdly, I pray for you because I sense in my spirit, like I said this weeks ago, or I think a few months ago, that there are people whose seasons are coming to an end in their lives and other seasons are starting. Let me pray for you. The persons, the groups, the associations that God has mandated himself to be part of your life, for your rising, for your lifting. In the name of Jesus, you will not miss out with them in this season. Everything that makes for offense, everything that makes for bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, I declare that it leaves your life right now. The endurance you need, the adaptability you need, the stamina you need, the maturity, the sense of forbearance you need to maintain these prophetic relationships so that they can deliver to you that which God has put in them. I release that grace upon you in Jesus' name. And hear me. Those of you who currently have relationships mandated by God, and it has is yet to deliver to you the prophetic benefit that should have come from that relationship, I decree and declare, beginning from this week, begin to reap the benefits that come with that relationship. In the name of Jesus Christ. And hear me. Whoever has forgotten you, that should remember you for the sake of the name of the Lord in this season. I call upon the God of my covenant, and I declare that this week will not pass until they call you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Keep standing, everyone. The greatest relationship that we need, that makes for us to be blessed indeed, please no movement, let's respect the altar call, is the relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have a relationship with Joshua Selman, Koinonia, the body of Christ, but in order of priority, the greatest relationship that the Bible mandates that a man can have, that the profitability of that relationship is here on earth and even in the afterlife, is the relationship with Jesus. For many of you, you have received this call and this proposition for a long time. Jesus is calling you. He's standing like one who truly desires that relationship. Now, there are two groups of people I want to call very quickly. Our time is up. Number one, those who are saying, Apostle, whilst listening to you, the Holy Spirit began to convict me. I'm inside, I'm outside, following online, the overflows. I need Jesus. That's category number one. Number two, there are those who are saying, Apostle, I came to Jesus, but I truly trivialized my relationship with him, and I have replaced him with so many things, and I want that restoration of relationship. Wherever you are, I'm going to count 1 to 5. We have just a minute for this. Whether you are across the balcony, inside here, all of the overflows, very proudly, like one who is coming back to a savior and a friend, come. God bless you. I'm counting 1 to 5. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Keep coming. 2, 3. He's calling for you. Come home. Come home. You are weary. Come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling. 4. Are you coming to Jesus? Come to him with pride and come to him with joy. The Bible declares that as many who will come to him, that he will in no wise cast away. Come. Come. He can give you a new beginning. This can be a fresh start for you. Do not allow December go like that. Jesus is calling. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, he can give you a new beginning. In the name of Jesus. Now I salute every single one of you. Thank you for your determination to come to Jesus. When you come to him, he does not bring you down. He lifts you up. It is your relationship with him that begins your journey in this kingdom. Are we together? The Bible declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you for coming. May I request that you lift your right hand inside and outside, everywhere, following online. And all of you who are following from your homes, your offices, your devices, you can follow. Lift your hands before Jesus. I want you to say this after me. But when you say it, let it be from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I need you in my life. I declare that you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and you are my King. I declare that I am a recipient of eternal life from tonight. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I am a child of God. I love you with all my heart. This relationship is forever. Therefore, I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these ones. Thank you for the joy of this divine relationship and this divine connection. Indeed, they are blessed. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. And I declare that the Lord gives you a new beginning from tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will enjoy the joy of salvation. And that the Lord will connect you with like-minded believers who love you and love Jesus and love His purposes. And that all together you will go as a winning team, triumphing from one level of grace to another. I commend you to the ministry of the Word and the Holy Spirit. I pray that you be built, you be grounded in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for this noble decision. May I request in 1 minute that you follow the counselors. They are waving the placard at you. Please beware of the cranes. I want you to follow them. They are at my right, which is your left. Koinonia, let's celebrate them very quickly. Let's celebrate them very quickly.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. To stream Koinonia live,
go to luke.com/koinonia-radio. And download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7856. We love and celebrate you.